And that's our signal. It's 10:10 Eastern. Good morning for Coffee with Decoder, episode 25. Welcome to those of you who are on the line this morning and those of you who are listening on the replay. We are delighted to have you today. This is a 10 to 15 minute conversation where we can just get our answers to our questions. We do invite you to come over to aq-iq.com or smarter.aq-iq.com and enter your questions, and you can catch up on the previous episodes in case this is your first time to dial in. Good morning, Paula Digby and Rucha Purohit.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm happy to have both of you ladies with us this morning. And Paula, before I ask the first question, did you want to give a formal introduction to Rucha?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Pam, because Rucha's been with our staff almost a year. She's been working in the background, and she has actually hosted one of the Coffee with Decoder sessions. She did a great job, and I just wanted to take a moment to introduce her to you all more formally. She's been in the background working with us for quite a while, but I'm bringing her into the session today and having her and I both answer some of your questions. So I wanted you to recognize, I know the three of us that are typically talking on the phone are Heather, Brian, Rucha Purohit, and myself, Paula Digby. But I just wanted to take just a second to say thank you, Rucha, for being with us and introduce everyone on the call, yes, to Rucha. So Rucha, just say hi. I know you've already done that.
Hello, everyone. Excited to be here today.
Thank you. So I'm going to jump in with the first question. And, of course, those people who are asking non-anonymously, you're welcome to ask with or without your name, go into a drawing. So all the questions that we ask today are actually non-anonymous. So there will be more than one person vying for the winning slot today for a mugging. And this is a good kind. We have an official Coffee with Decoder branded coffee cup mug, which will be sent free of charge to whoever the winner is from today's episode. So our first entry is Thomas in Arkansas, and he sends in this question. I have a patient in rehab that the physician states is admitted for debility. The patient has had multiple debridements of, I think this is pronounced Fournier's gangrene, pressure ulcers of the bilateral buttocks, has spina bifida, bilateral above-the-knee amputations, hypertension with CKD, and several other comorbidities. The patient is receiving debridement of the ulcers and attention to the Fournier's gangrene and renal dialysis while in rehab. I think this would fall into medically complex IGC. Would the etiological diagnosis remain debility and the principle remain debility, or should the etiologic be the gangrene, the CKD, and the pressure ulcer? I'm unsure how to choose the etiology and principle when there are multiple medical problems. The physician states the patient is admitted for debility.
All right. Well, let's first discuss the only reason why you would ever report medically complex. That is, the medical conditions and medical needs outweigh the rehab needs. It's far less common to use this IGC than you'd expect. So then what would you use if medically complex is not appropriate in this scenario and the patient is able to take part in benefits from the full therapy requirement? What other IGC would be reported? I think you would use IGC 16, but you have to weigh the documentation yourself to determine if the person if the physician is describing that medical needs for the patient outweigh the rehab needs. So use IGC 17 if that is the case, but it may be a red flag to payers, possibly indicating that the patient should have been in another level of care and not in IRF, maybe like a skilled nursing facility. If the payer reviews the claim for IGC selection, that is what they would look for.
Okay, well, thank you, Rucha. Yeah, on the IGC selection part, you know, you're selecting the impairment group based on the focus of care and the underlying reason for admission. So that said, let's talk next about the underlying reason for admission, which is the etiologic. So your question really is a little tough the way it's described, and I know this is the scenarios that we have day in and day out. If the physician described the underlying reason for the admission without giving you a pinpoint of, you know, this is the primary reason, this is the focus of care, then unfortunately we have to use one of those conditions that we really don't like using, which is the debility. It looks like he might have listed a myriad of medical problems together without specifically describing one as the reason for admission with the other as comorbidities. Now, if I'm in that facility where the physician has documented, you know, patient is admitted for multiple medical comorbidities, then I'm going to really try to educate that physician and drill him down to, you know, is there a primary reason? You know, this one last thing that happened maybe was the straw that broke the camel's back, and our focus of rehab then comes towards, okay, the patient had this Fournier's gangrene, and that Fournier's gangrene caused all these, you know, caused a surgical encounter, and then the debility following that. Yes, they have all these comorbidities, but this is the primary thing that happened that caused them now to say, okay, we need this patient to go to rehab. That's how you weigh the scale to determine which one is the etiologic. And then, now remember, this is another little caveat for IRF coding, is the etiologic doesn't have to continue to exist. It means it can be resolved. It can be the condition that caused the need for rehab, but it can be resolved. Whereas the principal diagnosis on the UBO4 claim form cannot be resolved. It has to still exist. So if the condition no longer exists, then you're going to report the principal diagnosis as what does still exist. And in this case, it sounds like the physician is only giving you you know, straws to grab at, I'll say, so he's only saying debility. You really, again, have to look at every case to say, okay, so in this particular case, as Rucha indicated, you know, were the medical conditions the focus of treatment in rehab, or is rehab the focus of treatment? And if rehab is the focus of treatment, then you're not going to go with that medically complex. You're going to go with the IGC-16. And then looking further at the underlying reason for admission, the underlying diagnosis that caused the impairment, the primary diagnosis that caused the impairment. And again, if you can't determine that and the doc is saying debility, 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 and not getting further detailed, then you got to go with that. But if you can have those soft discussions to get the physician to understand he or she needs to really drive towards that underlying reason in the documentation, and then either get an amendment to the documentation or do a query, a formal query, so he or she can qualify that, then that would be the way to go. But in this case, you do make a valid argument for Fournier's gangrene, but again, without that physician's documentation clearly describing it as the underlying reason, then you really have to go with what you have. And I know that's not a good answer, but I mean, it is a good answer, but it's not a good answer when we have to use debility, because that's that unspecified, okay, where do we put this patient? So, Pam?
Thank you, thank you. Well, and this question is similar, comes from a different part of the country, but it's still very similar. So Leanne in Florida was told that you should never use 17 medically complex. So what can you tell me about that?
So I think just like this previous question, I would say that if you absolutely have to use IGC-17, you can. I would never say never use the impairment group code, because it's there for a reason. But then again, it is a red flag. So if you have the opportunity to utilize a different IGC group, even through a query opportunity or through just using 16 instead and showing that the rehab was the focus of treatment instead of the medical treatment, then I would utilize that instead. I would avoid it, but if it's the most appropriate code for the person, definitely use it.
I agree, Rucha, because it is about appropriateness. And again, you know, you just want to make sure that you really evaluate that case. So is that patient in rehab, even though in those medically complex categories you have them for, you know, the different debility types or medically complex underlying causes, if it fits more appropriately in a different IGC, you want to use that, unless the focus of treatment is medical outweighing the rehab. So, yeah, thank you for that, Rucha. And Pam?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes, do we have time for one more?
We do.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so this is also from inpatient rehab, and it's from the West Coast. So Tiffany in Arizona sends this question. If I have a patient who's admitted on the 22nd and discharged on the 24th of the same month, which codes would I include in the IRF pie? So she goes on to say, should I use only the admit codes that were based on the review of the H&P, that's history and physical? If the coder included other codes in the discharge codes that were listed as present on admission, should I include those because they were POA, or should I only include what could be coded from the H&P on the day of admit? I know this will not affect reimbursement but because it's a short stay, but we are transmitting to Medicare, and I want to make sure I get all the IRF pie correct.
Okay. Rucha, I'm going to grab this one since we're running up against the clock here. But just real quickly for those of you who may not be familiar with the IRF coding and the IRF payment rules, and what Tiffany is referring to is there is a three midnight rule type thing. So if the patient is admitted and discharged before the expiration of three midnights, then you get a different payment, and you're only reporting those diagnoses that occurred before the last 2 days of the admission, because there's two different rules that come into play here for IRF services. So I would say, Tiffany, in this case, you're going to report all codes for conditions that were determined to be present at the time of admission. Because if you can only report the day of admission codes, now let's say he or the doctor documented them in the last day, but you could clearly tell that they were occurred on the day of admission or they were present on the day of admission, those codes you could report. But there is a rule in IRF that says I can't report conditions on the IRF PI, not on the UB. On the UB you're going to report everything. But on the IRF PI, I can't report conditions that were recognized the day of discharge or the day preceding. So with this case and the patient being admitted less than, 3 days, you can only report conditions, and typically it would be those conditions in the H&P. But if you have a physician that is not a very good documenter, he or she may not have documented everything until the discharge, in which case we need him or her to very clearly state which ones were present at the time of admission and which ones were recognized, on the day or day before discharge, day of discharge or the day preceding. So, Pam, that was a quick one. So, and
yes,
we were all
was.
About IRF today. Yeah, we want to make sure that people send in those hospital and physician questions and even other provider types as well. So I just want to mention that. Go ahead, Pam. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Okay, so I've written these three names down on slips of paper and folded them up very carefully. So I've been kind of like stirring them around during the entire conversation. So I'm about to draw a winner, and let's see who's going to get mugged today. And, of course, it's the good kind. I always say that with the quotes around it. So the winner is Leanne in Florida. So congratulations, Leanne. And I do also want to encourage everyone to go ahead and send in those questions, even payers and other provider types, because our researchers really love to get down into the depths of all of these things, and we're delighted to be able to share them with you. So thanks so much. That's another episode in the books, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you in 2 weeks, December the 4th at 10:10 Eastern.